Good morning. Welcome to you as we come into the Lord's house this morning. Please take a moment to sign the friendship register at the end of each row closest to the center aisle and then pass it along to your neighbor seated next to you. And happy Father's Day to everyone this morning. We'd like to remind you that if you have children in our nursery or children's church, please leave your phones on vibrate so that we can contact you if your child needs your attention while they're with us. And we want to remind everyone that we still need help in our youth and children's ministry. Specifically, we need some folks to join a small group of children and lead a discussion. We will provide you with some discussion topics so you don't have to spend a lot of time preparing. Please contact Kathy Connell or myself, or contact the church office. If you have a love for the Lord and a love for Berry Christian Church and for our children, you're hired. It's that simple. And we will help you all along the way as you serve Jesus Christ by serving our children. We also need a few volunteers to help manage our sound system during our services, and we would also like some input into the future of our audio technology. Our sound equipment is about 25 years old, and it might be a challenge to replace one of our components should it fail and find a piece that is compatible with our existing hardware. So we'd love to gather some folks who can maybe help us do some brainstorming and evaluate our current system and our future needs and help determine what we want to do with our technology in the future. Please let us know if you'd like to be a part of that endeavor as well. May we now begin with our call to worship. In Andrew's absence this morning, please welcome Gail Gentry. Gail, good morning.
Please rise for the call to worship. Praise the Lord, because he guides us.
We are always
aware. We are thankful and glad, and we feel completely secure. And his presence fills us with joy and brings us pleasure forever. We'll now sing our opening hymn, Faith of Our Fathers, number 635, all stanzas.
God, we thank you for the privilege to worship in person here this morning and to be able to share in our gifts of music and biblical ministry, and children's ministries. We thank you for being the giver of these gifts and for the opportunity to share them with others, to give all glory to you, O God, and to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On this day, may we remember our fathers and all the father figures in our lives, and may we feel the blessings of having you as our Heavenly Father. We welcome now the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the gift of the ever-present Holy Spirit. It is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus. I'd love to hear things I would ask him to tell me.
Good morning. And you say, Happy Halloween? I don't know. Something? Happy Father's Day. There you go. Okay. Well, I got some pictures here. So, what do we got here? Well, we got a fishing pole. Baseball. Yeah, what does this look like? Gardening stuff, yep. And what do we got down here? A Bible and Jesus. Wonder what all of those pictures mean. Well, as you said, it's Father's Day. And all of these up here, fishing, baseball, gardening, those are some of the things we like to do with our dads, isn't it? Fathers. There's lots of other stuff, too. But I didn't have enough room for everything. So why do we like to do stuff with our dads? Why? Why do we want to do that? What do you think? Because it's Father's Day, yeah. And we do it other times too, don't we? Don't you do stuff other times? Maybe not this stuff. Maybe it's playing board games or soccer or reading or other things like that. Well, mostly we like to do things with our dads because we like to be close to our dads, don't we? We like to make that connection with our dads, with our fathers. Well, see, these things down here, the Bible and Jesus, these are things we might do with our dads out here, or our grandpas, or our uncles, or all kinds of things. These are ways that we can get closer to God. We get closer to our fathers by doing some of this stuff. We get closer to God with Bible reading and study and through Jesus, don't we? That's how we get closer to our Heavenly Father. You know that, I know you've heard that prayer that starts, "Our Heavenly Father, who art in heaven," right? Yeah. So this is just ways to have a special time getting closer to God, just like we like special times getting closer to our dads. Should we have a little prayer? Dearest Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this special day to celebrate all of the men of faith in our lives, whether they're our fathers, our uncles, big brothers, whoever they are. Help us to appreciate and thank those who we spend time with and who help guide us in our lives. And thank you for your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. Well, I realized that if we had been a Presbyterian church, I could have said that many of you got baptized this morning because they baptized by sprinkling, you know. But so glad you all are here in the Lord's house this morning. A number of people for us to remember as we make our way through this new week. First of all, Ardith Haynes was at North Kansas City Hospital for a few days, but going home yesterday. We wanted to lift up Phyllis Frenthrop as she is recovering from a procedure on an eyelid that went very well. We're grateful for that. We keep Don Thomas in our prayers, as well as Betty Donahue and Grace Kimmerling and Dottie Olson and also Jerry Treese. And among family members, we certainly want to keep Dean Chester in mind. He is the father of Jerry Chester and is going to see a physician and oncologist at KU tomorrow, right, Jerry? And we hope all proceeds well, as it looks like he may have a type of pancreatic cancer, and they're wanting to get that addressed and see how things progress. We also lift up Nancy Poos. She is the sister of Patty Miller. We're also lifting up Christy Cook, the daughter of Carol Cook. We're lifting up Natalie and Savannah Gorman in our prayers, as well as Edna Williams' cousin, Anna. And then we certainly keep her in prayer every day with all that she's been dealing with. We're also remembering Rihanna Ralston as she's awaiting more results from testing, and Cindy Sexton's stepmother, Carolyn Comfort. Among friends, we're remembering Donna Stebbins and E.H. Smith. We're also remembering Roxy Weaver's co-worker's wife, Leanne Branson, as she's been dealing with the coronavirus. I hope that she's seeing some progress, Roxy.
She is off the ventilator.
Oh, good. Good. Okay. Well, bless you guys. And also, we're lifting up Ruth Ann Thacker from Arizona, friend of Linda Coyne. So with all of these people upon our hearts, may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Loving and merciful God, we give you praise for the privilege to worship you on this Lord's Day morning, and on this day set aside to honor our fathers. We celebrate the guiding hands, the inspiring words, the thoughtful insights, and the strength of mind and character we have received, whether it be from our own earthly fathers or from men of faith who have led us on our pathway of life. And as many of our fathers and other men of faith have discovered the strength of assurance that comes from following in the footsteps of Christ our Lord, We pray, O God, that each of us may also be resolved to follow in Christ's ways as well. For as Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 reminds us, may we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And thus with confidence, O God, we know that we too can step forward with joy-filled assurance day by day. And this is what we celebrate and what we offer in praise as we also recite the prayer that our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you, Lenora. Honoring fathers on a special day of the year began with Sonora Louise Smart Dodd of Spokane, Washington, in 1909. She recognized that her father, William Jackson Smart, like many men before him, went the extra mile in faithfully caring for his children after the loss of a spouse. In fact, for Mr. Smart, again, this is a time period when many people died very early in life. It was the loss of two spouses and resulted in his care for a total of 14 children, three from his first wife's first marriage, five from his union with his first wife, and then six from his second wife, who was Sonora's mother, who died when she was 16, with her five brothers all being younger. Concerning her father's genuine care, Sonora once said to a reporter of the Spokane Daily Chronicle, "I remember everything about him. He was both father and mother to me and my brothers and sisters." The Ministerial Association and the YMCA of Spokane both supported Mrs. Dodd's efforts, and the first Father's Day celebration was held on the 19th of June in 1910. As we gather at our Lord's table, we also remember that we partake of the bread and the cup as they remind us of there was a tremendous sacrifice that our Lord and Savior made for us, that we may not be spiritually orphaned, but rather we are given the privilege to abide in our spiritual Father's heavenly realm forevermore. We prepare to receive the elements of the table as we sing all stanzas of our communion hymn number 573, "Pure in Heart, O God." Table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Ron leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather around your table this morning, we thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross at Calvary. We remember these emblems, the cup and the bread, and the body and the blood, which was sacrificed for our sins. We thank you for that sacrifice and look forward to the opportunity to share in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God, and we welcome you to share this morning. Very simple expression of religious devotion before God is expressed in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 27. What God the Father considers to be pure and genuine religion is this: to take care of orphans and widows in their suffering and to keep oneself from being corrupted by the world. We take God's simple command to heart and to action as we offer a word of prayer and we receive our tithes and offerings this morning. Dave, thank you.
Dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to meet in your house to worship you. We experience your blessings every day, and they are given to us freely and with ultimate love. May we love you enough to return to you a portion of that which is already yours. Bless these tithes, gifts, and offerings, and bless the giver. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
stand.
Praise God from whom all blessings.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and forevermore. Amen.
Please be seated.
I hope y'all will pardon the spot on my nose. I'm sorry you got to look at that while you look at me. But when I was younger, I would have told you that that happened because I kind of had a run with the sidewalk when I fell off my skateboard. But nowadays, you know how many of us, as we get a little bit older, it's just a matter of going to see that dermatologist trying to keep, you know, that old skin cancer at bay, right? How many of us are on that pathway now as we get older? You know, we've been in a lot of sun over the years, haven't we been? You know, especially when we were younger, right? So I apologize to you all. Let's have a look at the scripture text here. This is Hebrews chapter 4, beginning with verse 14 through 16. Let us then hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we have a great high priest who has gone into the very presence of God, Jesus, the Son of God. Our high priest is not one who cannot feel sympathy for our weakness. On the contrary, we have a high priest who was tempted in every way that we are, but did not sin. Let us be brave then and approach God's throne where there is grace. There we will receive mercy and find grace to help us just when we need it. May I offer a word of prayer. Lord God, we're grateful for the privilege to be in your house on this Father's Day Sunday. As we honor our earthly fathers, we also give thanks to you, O God, our Heavenly Father, and for the guidance and direction you give us every day through your word. As we study and focus, we give thanks for your presence among us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This past week, with Father's Day approaching, producers of a late-night talk show went to the sidewalks in search of fathers walking with a child. Stopping the pairs, the producers asked the fathers to answer questions about the child who was walking with them. Simple questions like, what's your son's middle name? What's your son's birth date? What is the name of your daughter's best friend? What's the name of the school that your daughter attends? Now, I don't know how many fathers they had to interview before they got their answers, but in all four of those questions, the fathers answered incorrectly. And the last question, what is the present age of your daughter? One father was asked, to which the father answered 10. Looking up at her father, and I could tell from, you know, just looking on television, she's not 10. I know that, you know. But looking up at her father, the daughter quickly came to his rescue. I'm now 6, but I'll be 7 soon. So in other words, I'll get to 10, Dad. The stupefied answers prove that many fathers are not good communicators with their children, and many are thus at many levels rather disconnected with their children. I know that being the case with my own father. My father had a territory that took up 2/3 of the state of Texas. That's a lot of ground to cover. And I would travel with him. My job, my mother said, was to help keep my dad awake. But how can you keep someone awake when they won't even talk? My father and I would travel 4 hours from San Antonio to San Angelo, and my dad wouldn't say 10 words. You know? But let's take heart, dads, because the truth of the matter is that many men, although lousy communicators, are really much better at being connected with their children and with others by what they do rather than by what they say. And one of the best ways that men, and thus dads, do stuff is not only through sports activities, but often it's by building things rather than saying words. Right? Does that fit some of you men? Building things. And sometimes something built is the best way to express just what one wants to get across, rather than words. Take the Statue of Liberty, for example. Yes, it was an expression of goodwill between the United States and France, but it undoubtedly became a symbol of liberty and hope for many immigrants who, while sailing into New York Harbor, saw her torch shining through the mist on their way to Ellis Island, and building and placing the statue said far more than words ever could. The completion of the Erie Canal in 1825 made Niagara Falls one of the nation's foremost tourist destinations in the time. Yet there were some big drawbacks. The Niagara River formed an 800-foot gap, and the cliffs on one shoreline were 220 feet, 25 feet high, and the headwaters there was no way to safely cross the river to either side by boat traveling close to falls. Had to travel a great distance away, almost like going to the next town before you could finally get water calm enough to actually cross. A suspension bridge was the answer. A contract to build one was awarded to an American engineer named Charles Ellet in 1847. But how could he begin? Lines needed to be established from one bank to the other. How could one get started? And then Ellet thought of kites. And much to the delight of young boys on both sides of the Niagara River, a contest was announced. An 18-year-old Homan Walsh entered the contest. He appropriately named his kite the Union. And on his first attempt in deep winter weather, the kite made it across, but the string dragged across the ice pack floating on the river and thus was severed. It took him days to get back to the other side in order to retrieve his kite and to rebuild it because the ferry traffic had been stopped for days because of all that ice. But after retrieving his kite and trying again, he succeeded and he won the cash prize. His sturdy string was used to pull a rope pulled a cable, followed by more cables, and by July of 1848, the suspension bridge was in service, easily permitting traffic and trade between the two countries in what was by then certainly a world-famous tourist destination. A major chasm, you see, was successfully traversed. And people came by the hundreds of thousands, Americans and Canadians and folks from all kinds of other nations, simply because an engineer thought of what fun it would be to have a contest among young people that would not only be a great publicity stunt, but this flight of fancy crossed the chasm. When you and I think of the great chasm between our Creator, God, and ourselves caused by the transgression of our sins, we realize that through the covenant that God made with the patriarchal fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, by the activities of Passover, by the spoken word of the Ten Commandments, and many of the other portions of the law, our loving God time and again devised means to successfully traverse the chasm between himself and people. But on this Father's Day Sunday, let us also realize that God had a bit of fun with we men by giving us opportunity to build things as a means of expressing his desire to be connected with humanity. Even as the Hebrew people struggled through their meager existence in the wilderness, God gave instructions in the Old Testament for the construction of objects of faith. Exodus chapter 25 gives instructions for the building of the Ark of the Covenant. It was actually a relatively small box. In fact, do you all recall what a book box from U-Haul looks like? You know, about like this, about this high. It's not that big, is it? You probably used a few of them, haven't you? Just think of the book box from U-Haul. The Ark of the Covenant is not much bigger than that. Made of a very special kind of wood and covered with gold, it housed Aaron's rod, a jar of manna, and the Ten Commandments. And in verse 22 of Exodus 25, God says, "I will meet you there at the covenant box, and from above the lid between the two winged creatures, I will communicate my laws for the people of Israel." So you see, the construction of a box became an avenue of bridging the chasm between humanity and God. It became one of God's ways to communicate his love and compassion to his people. And then we look at Exodus chapter 26 and portions of the 36th chapter, and we have instructions for the building of the tabernacle, also called the tent of the Lord's presence, a massive yet portable tent that could be set up as a sacred place of worship and yet quickly taken down and transported to another site at the whim of God's command. About the equivalent of that would be like having a giant circus tent. When you set it up, it's quite huge, isn't it? But it doesn't take much to bring it all down and pack it all up and carry it along with you. That was the tabernacle. And once the Hebrew people established themselves in the Promised Land, 1 Kings chapter 6 describes the construction of what became known as Solomon's Temple in Jerusalem, whose remnants are still a significant place of worship. Essentially, it's the floor level that still exists of that temple and Herod, but it is still a religious site for Jewish, Christian, and Muslim people the world over. And through these important building projects and others, through the centuries, what we have seen is our loving God prompting his followers to build meaningful objects and places where it was always hoped that God's people would experience his spirit in deeply spiritual and meaningful ways. Yet as time passed, we know the ark was somehow lost. Now, be mindful, that would be the equivalent of the United States losing the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, you know, that are under bulletproof glass. So imagine losing something that significant. But it got lost. Don't know what happened to it. The tabernacle was dismantled. The temple in Jerusalem was destroyed by invading armies more times than we want to count. And thus God chose another avenue to bridge the chasm between himself and humanity in a much more timeless and spiritual way. God offers his son as that kite string to span the chasm of humanity's sinfulness. And although our Lord Jesus at the age of 30 gave up his father's profession as a tradesman and never built another tangible thing, for the 3 years of his earthly ministry, he was busy building relationships as he helped the lame to walk, the blind to see, and as he taught God's truths in the synagogue and across the plains of Galilee. Jesus was busy being the ultimate bridge builder between God and humanity. So this leads us to our scripture text for this morning from Hebrews chapter 4. That 14th verse says, "We have a great high priest who has gone into the very presence of God, Jesus, the Son of God. Our high priest is not one who cannot feel sympathy for our weakness. On the contrary, we have a high priest who has been tempted in every way just like we, but did not sin. And let us be brave then and approach God's throne where there is grace. There we will receive mercy and find grace to help us just when we need it." In this text, Jesus is called the great high priest. In the Latin language, the word for high priest is pontifex. It is derived from two words, pont, which means bridge, and pharse, which means to make. Thus, pontifex, high priest, is truly the best bridge builder between God and humanity. So, fathers, even though it really would be a good idea to pay closer attention to your children and get to know their middle names, their birth dates, their school's name, and the name of their daughter's best friend, take heart. Just like our loving God built objects to help forge a relationship, and ultimately, he sent us the greatest bridge builder of all, Jesus the Christ. Men, we need to understand that each of us can really build a great relationship between our children and ourselves, and between our children and God, by simply doing that which we may often do best, build things. The most vivid memories I have with my father were standing at his workbench. You know, it was a meager thing compared to the kind of workbenches I am blessed to have today. But there, I still have the vise that I used to make my Pinewood Derby cars. I have a photograph of a block of wood in that same vise with my son cutting on that little block of wood, making one of his Pinewood Derby cars. I will pass that vise onto my son, just like I've already passed on the cabinet that has all the Pinewood Derby cars from my time period and Jonathan's time period, and there's space for a grandson, maybe. You know, I even understand granddaughters are even doing Pinewood Derby cars. Have you heard that? So, you know, there's space. Build things. Build it together. I remember my father and I building an arbor in our backyard that was about the size of my bedroom. Put a swing in it. We grew grapes on it. We both loved to do yard stuff. I remember us building a picnic table together. I remember when my sister was expecting her first child, my father built a crib for the baby. But you know what? I don't remember hardly a thing my dad ever said, because he said so little. But I do remember what he built and what he was saying through those objects. So it is. While we're busy building with our children, with our grandchildren, and with other children in our lives, maybe they will also experience the living Christ's presence in our conduct. Even if it be only a few words, it really can be mighty in deeds. But let's also just try to see if we might be able to say a few words while we're hammering those nails. And today, as we also celebrate the Father of all fathers, our loving God who gave us his Son, the great high priest, the pontifex, the bridge builder between ourselves and God, we recognize that first and foremost, we have the privilege to celebrate Christ as Lord and Savior. So I ask you, do you know Christ? If he's not your Savior, maybe today for you to come forward and accept Christ in the way I know your life can be transformed. And maybe today is that day for you to come forward and become part of our fellowship here at church. And as we turn to number 594, we'll sing stanzas 1 and 5, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. Being in the Lord's house this morning, a reminder that we do have refreshments in the fellowship hall directly below, and we have Sunday school starting in about 20 minutes from now. And we thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning, and may we offer a word of prayer. Lord God, as we depart, your Spirit is with us, and for that we give thanks as we're privileged this Father's Day to be mindful that you are the great spiritual Father of all who guides us day by day. In the name of Christ, we give thanks as we embark upon the new week. Amen.
Oh, Christ, the